Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullen. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher, on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner, for it must be a Tuesday, but baby, it's always a Tuesday around here. I am Patrick Harris. That is Joe Fisher to my left.
Let's go.
I got Schultzy on the ones and twos.
Merry Christmas. I'm already saying it. I'm already there.
That's all right. That's all right. It's good to see you guys. Feels like
Schultzy comes across as one of those guys that yells at people in the store.
No, Merry Christmas
when they say Happy Holidays.
I always say Happy Holidays. I started saying it at work. Tables that I've enjoyed. I'm just like, hey, thanks for coming in. Have a great holiday. We'll see you later.
I just want to catch people off guard and just start saying Happy Kwanzaa to them just to see what reaction I get. And
they're hey, like, man, wait, what? I'm a staunch Futurama watcher, and Kwanzaa mm-hmm. Bot is, yes. one of my favorite characters of all time.
In my small hometown of apparently 50 people, I'll tell them Happy Kwanzaa.
Joe is very salty. Because Joe took a shot at Jason Sukanik and
I took a shot at the commute from Vancouver to Portland, which is unequivocally the worst in the city.
Agreed.
Which turned into you taking a shot into where he lives.
Because, I mean...
Which is also where I live.
I love the people of Vancouver.
Really? Because
I just don't like Vancouver. I drove to Hazeldale the other day. As soon as I got out of the car, it just smelled like poop up there.
Where were you?
I don't know. I don't know. All
Where
I know
were
is
you
I was
in Hazeldale.
Again, I don't know. I don't know where I'm at. I just follow GPS and it takes me somewhere. I saw a welcome to Hazeldale sign. I got out of the car and
I need more. Why were you in Vancouver, Joe?
I was doing something for a client, you know, being the good sales rep that I am, taking care of.
You can't say the client's name.
No.
Because you signed an NDA.
No, I'm not doing that. Not put their name out there.
Expose them.
I was doing something for them and went out there. And then it made me wonder, wasn't there like a weird funk hanging around Vancouver for a few months? Like a weird stank or something like that?
Like a smell in the air?
Yeah. Wasn't there a story on that?
I live up on the hill in rich people neighborhood, so.
Oh, you lived above the stank.
You smell the fresh air.
The 27 degrees fresh air. Then I get to the I-5 bridge in the morning, and it's 35.
Not just you, buddy. It was like 35 for like a high in Wilsonville yesterday. That was cold. Yeah. My toesies needed some extra time in the heater today.
But yeah, and then Jason Sukanik, because it's something that's not his.
Excuse me. The wonderful Jason Sukanik.
Yeah.
Vancouver resident. Legend hero Mountain View High School.
But Jason because someone had a different opinion of him and lives in a different town, he automatically had to take a dump on it and talk about how stupid it was.
Joe, you live like 100 miles away.
No, I don't. I do not live 100 miles away. I live in Newburgh. That is not 100 miles away.
To prove Jason's point right now, when this show is over and you drive home, how long is it going to take?
It would take me like 40 minutes.
Okay, it's going to take me 17.
Yeah, because there's no traffic.
I can't even have two cigarettes. That's how close it is.
There's no traffic.
Damn.
There's no traffic.
I can't even finish a beer in my car on the way home.
The good old days.
You can't drive from Portland to Vancouver in the middle, like in the beginning of the workday or at the end of the workday, and you crawl there.
But to your point, we don't have real jobs.
And that was argument to him. I was like, you don't work a real job.
Neither do you.
You have to just get
wasted on the Portland Spirit once a month.
It was the Crystal Dolphin.
Okay, cool.
Get your vessel right, sir.
I don't think you should.
I'm Jason Swigard. This is my second job.
Your third, actually.
I got tons of jobs. Yeah, because I'm a parent.
Pilots, hops, then the fan.
In that order.
Yes.
Jeez. I don't know. Guys, don't get as mad at like the Vancouver peeps and the Portland peeps as maybe the people that set the city up. That's honestly what I think of. Every time I'm in that stupid HOV lane going up to Vancouver, it's, why don't we have more than three lanes? What are we doing? This is a major metropolitan area.
In here. The HOV lane by himself.
It's over!
No, I do not break that. But I did see, I was in Seattle on Monday, I saw a hell of a lot of people breaking the HOV rule up there.
Oh, on Sundays and Mondays, or I should just say Mondays. Mondays, I have to go back to Vancouver on the I-5. Shout out. I-5 North looks not very fun, so if you're there, honk your horn and say, what up?
Yeah.
I passed it a few minutes ago. It did not look great. It did not look great, but the HOV lane is full of single rider passengers.
Oh, I didn't see the sign, officer.
Maybe move to Oregon and live in Oregon, and you don't have to deal with that. And you don't have to deal with the Vancouver traffic. And
I used to live in North Portland, Joe, and I had to deal with it every day of my life.
I guess there is that little section with the
from 405 to I-5, it's traffic 24/7, bro.
Yeah,
it's a mess.
That is, again, a terrible drive. Any which way you mark it. And yeah, you could say it takes me 20 minutes to get home right now. But if you need to go from Vancouver to Portland and Portland to Vancouver, it honestly seems like it happens on times and days where it doesn't even need to be.
Oh, yep. Sunday from 4 to 6 is a nightmare.
Why?
Exactly. Why?
Doesn't make any sense.
Where are people coming from?
But I'll tell you what, Joe. When I leave work on Mondays, I got a cold one. Couple heaters
in the cup holder,
and I'm listening to Prime Time, the number one show in the Portland market.
Yeah, I love it.
And life is totally fine, man. You know, I get in the news, and I get the Hot 5 at 5, and I got a cold one next to me, a couple heaters, and a bag of Funyuns, dude. I'm living the high life, man.
I also love.
By the time I get home, I'm ready to beat my kids, dude. It's great.
I love that. I would talk to someone about that. I love that. Also, one of Jason Sukanik's arguments for why Vancouver is so much better.
I know where you're going with this.
Is because it has a mall.
Vancouver Mall.
To which I said, is it 1993? When do, like, malls matter, I guess, this time of year, but the other 11 months out of the year, Like, aren't malls dying?
My favorite
plus,
thing.
Plus, I got the Woodburn Outlet Mall right down the.
That's a great mall.
So if we're gonna
it's an outdoor,
or if we're gonna open hang air. Dong here and whip out each other's mall prowess, I think I get the W with the Woodburn Outlet Mall.
You can find us on YouTube right now at 1080 AM The Fan, and I am just smiling a lot. When I lived in Pullman, Washington, we used to get, you know how you get local commercials no matter where you live, right?
Yes.
And we used to get the local commercial for the mall in Moscow, Idaho.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay?
And
Moscow, my God.
Wonderful little town. I love that town. Shout out Vandals.
That was some mall.
What up? And they had a jingle, you know, because everything has a jingle. And it was the Palouse Mall. Is what it was called. And it was right when you came in to Moscow, Idaho, from Pullman, right there on the highway. And there was a giant Walmart, and then there was the Palouse Mall. And they had a commercial for it. And there was a jingle. And at the end, it would like show you clips of all the stores in there. And the jingle was, and we'll never forget it. It was small town atmosphere with big city choices. The Palouse Mall, dun, 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 dun.
Yikes.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
It's very nostalgic. Yeah. I can see it on a small 19-inch TV right now.
Doesn't quite hit like Tom Peterson's Inglourious 2, but it's close.
We had a 36-inch TV that was built into one of those sets.
Oh, like the wood?
Yeah, that weighed 1,000 pounds.
With the knobs on it?
Yeah, and we drove by the Palouse Mall all the time to get to the Winco because we were broke.
Hey, look, it's Big City Choices, and we're going to Winco.
Small town atmosphere with big city choices.
And also,
the Palouse Mall.
There weren't that many big city choices
so
either.
So great, so great.
Also, to corroborate the Vancouver smelling like poo, that is something that as recently as October was being wrote about.
See, now that you say it, I feel like Rop and Suk talked about it in the news at one point.
Yeah, there was a stink.
Sounds familiar.
There's a smell just hovering over Vancouver.
See, I think you guys are just haters.
Yes.
I mean, I don't...
The largest suburb in the Portland metropolitan area.
I don't dislike...
The third largest city in the state of Washington, the greatest state in America. And you guys are just here to poo, 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 poo.
I don't dislike Vancouver.
Build the wall!
Getting to Vancouver sucks.
We have a wall. It's called the I-5 corridor.
Yeah,
I want to send... been on I-5 on a Friday night?
Mass deportation of all Washingtonians back to Vancouver and stay there.
And force them to deal with an interstate bridge lift on the way, please.
Yes, you are only allowed by kayak to come over to Oregon now.
You know, I've hit a couple of those lifts. It's been a while since I've had to deal with a bridge lift. And every time that bridge lift hits, I just say to myself, why didn't I get a 4-pack?
Why didn't I move to Oregon?
Why do I only have one beer and two heaters? And I got to piss like nobody's business right now.
Yeah. Whoever invents a way, because I'm sure there's like some sort of apparatus, but whoever invents a like legitimate way to pee in the car, they'll be a billionaire.
Dude, it's a Nalgene.
That's yes, but
you got to have a pee Nalgene. It can't be your water Nalgene.
But you've got to.
But it's wide mouth, dude.
You got to get the big mouth.
Some of us need wide mouth.
I think all of us need wide mouths.
You'd be surprised.
You want to aim into a little tiny hole? I don't care how big you are. You want to aim into like a little half inch hole? It's like shooting a hockey puck for like the car or whatever
What if you can slide into that half inch hole?
That's
then you're not
the
worried
worst
about
thing
anything.
In the world.
Excuse me.
And then you get home and it's stuck, and then you're in big trouble. Bridge lifts are the least of your problems right now.
And spit on that thing.
You're gonna have to.
Then you need
to spit on your own thing.
You need to do some sort of biofuel thing where you go into this little compartment in your car, and then it turns into gasoline somehow.
And
you're powering your car.
I have come full circle. I lived in North Portland for a decade. I love North Portland. She's my home. I find myself there frequently when I'm not at home. But to round this out, Joe, I'm with Suk on this, dude. I'm very happy to live in Vancouver.
Yeah, and you and your mall. Congratulations.
And your
six grocery stores, he says.
I'm so far from the mall. Hey, I got a TJ's in Sam Creek now. What up?
What's a better name, Vantucky or the Couve?
The Couve.
Yeah, all right, that's what I thought.
Vantucky is for those kids in like orchards and battleground and like those yahoos.
When
you see people with cowboy hats, it's like, bro, you live in a city.
You from Longview, sir?
Nah, man, I'm from orchards.
Got it.
Hit the six shooter downtown Vancouver.
Also, it's a better town, apparently, because simply it just has more people.
That was one of his arguments.
It has more people.
It has more
people. That makes a town worse to me. Give me less people to deal with,
please. I actually agree with Joe on this one, yeah.
And of all people to say that to, Jason Sukanik, who just by all means just loves people.
The most people-friendly person yeah, in the history of this
exactly.
planet.
Says like, oh yeah, we have more people, therefore better.
For those of you that don't know, Joe lives in Newburgh. Oakley dokely.
We got to sit my Pinot and relax in the vineyards.
Up,
yes.
Looking down on the heathens that live in Vancouver, yes, Washington. Exactly. Oakley dokely. Well, we got a show for you today. We've been off a little bit. There's a lot to get to. And people always ask, you know, hey, you do the baseball show the entire year? Yeah, we got stuff to get to. There's a team that owes $1 billion and is this just crime on crime and what the future of that looks like. A high leverage free agent pitcher is signed. Those are connected. So there's a lot to get to. Plus the cream of the crop, Juan Soto, will fill you in on what's going on for that if we have enough time. Plus we can hit a little bit of a team that is garbage that is signing a ton of players, and we'll see what that might look like. And can Rob Manfred actually have worse ideas? There is a lot of that to get to you. Plus we need to introduce to you the next superstar from Japan.
Another one, huh?
We don't even know if they are a superstar. So there is a ton to get to. When we come back, we'll start off with $1 billion. How does this shape the future of the game? Is this okay? Is this embarrassment of riches? Is this something needs to be stepped in? We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Corey, you thrilled our fans throughout the post.
.720 Portland Sports Leader here. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. There's the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. That bad boy will let you interact with us throughout the entire show.
Now, that is probably the best part about Vancouver, is Vancouver Ford. I will give a tip of the hat to that. That is a quality dealership there.
I got one in the lot right now. I got one in the parking lot right now. I love it to death. I was actually hanging out with some friends before I came here, and about 10 minutes before I left, I pulled up the old app and started up my car to get it warm. And that is because I have the wonderful people of Vancouver Ford.
How about that?
How about
the stink that? Actually goes right around it.
Yeah, it's like there's like a wall.
Yeah.
They built exactly. a wall. Yeah. Kind of like the one that we're going to build around Canada.
I thought that we were going to build around Vancouver.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we will get into who the hell is this guy? Plus, we'll have Fair or Foul at the bottom of the hour, so stick around for that. But let's kind of get into this, Joe. We got a team right now that is hemorrhaging everything they can to win as many World Series or newspaper headlines as they can without thinking about their future self. So the question is future Dodger going to be really mad at current Dodger? Like, there are times when I'll go out to the bar. There are times when I'll be at home and I decide I'm going to have a few more pops and stay up and watch some bad TV, and it's like 10 and I need to go to bed. But you know what? It's 12:30. That's a problem for future Patrick. This current Patrick is having a blast. Is future Dodger going to be really, really upset with current Dodger?
Well, when they have four or five World Series championships within a 4 or 5 year span. I don't think they're, you mean Dodger player or Dodger fan?
Dodger fan slash ownership.
No and no. I think they'll be perfectly okay with paying this tab down the road when it actually bears the fruit of multiple World Series championships. We could actually be looking at that potential now where, what is it? We haven't had a repeat champion or really like a franchise or not a franchise, a dynasty in the MLB since the late 90s Yankees. We could be looking at that.
But I guess,
and again, the fans and ownership will not care when they're cashing those checks up until 2043 or whatever it is.
I guess the real question is as I'm looking at the sheet right now, Shohei, his deferred money kicks in 2034. Will Smith is 34. Freeman is 28. I think Blake Snell got announced today. I'd have
2035 to 2046.
Okay. Mookie is 33.
Tommy Edman, who also got a new deal with the Dodgers over the last week or so, his amount goes through 2044.
Yeah, so I'm curious, when you get to 2034 and you're all of a sudden paying a bunch of guys that probably don't play for you anymore, do you think that the money won off of endorsements, sponsorships, World Series titles, assuming they get those? That's a tough assumption. Because even in baseball, you can be loaded and still lose. Do you think that from a finance, like if you're an accountant, from a financial situation, can you look at that and say, yeah, in 2034, I owe Shohei $680 million over the next 9 years, and I can still sign high-priced free agents?
There's one part of me that looks at it in 10 years, in 15 years, in 2040. Like, what is $1 billion going to be like then? You know, as much
as... You're talking inflation.
Yes. Like, and I know that's, you know...
So this is a deal.
I mean, when we look at it, I mean, $1 billion right now, yes, that is a lot. It's always going to be a lot of money. But again, when the dollar keeps going up and inflation is going up, like, again, like...
Money today is always worth more than money tomorrow, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so when you look at this deferred money, like in 2040, when they still have however many of these payments left to go... It's like, are they really going to be stressing about it then? Right now, you're like, oh my God, that's a lot of money over the next, well, 20 years.
I guess my big question is that, yeah, when you get to 10 years from now and this deferred money gets on the books, you know, we'll talk about it in a minute if this is good or bad for baseball. We'll get to that in a minute. So try to keep that out of your brain when I ask this question. But in 2035, while you're paying Shohei $60 million a year, $70 million a year, and Will Smith another 10, and, you know, Freeman another 8, or and however it piles up to be $1 billion over that 10-year span from 35 to 45, can you still afford to sign free agents?
Yes, because, I mean, as we've seen, that there isn't obviously a salary cap in baseball, but I think that the Dodgers will never have a problem signing free agents. And unless the MLB does something about this and actually steps in and wants to make a change to how deferred payments are,
right,
like how it's done, because right now the Dodgers are clearly, I don't know if abusing is the right word, taking advantage of the rules that are in front of them and just doing like, hey, literally every other team could do this if they wanted to. Teams have done this in smaller instances. We're just working this with every single player that we sign.
And in a classic statement, I said to not bring that up, and you brought that up.
Oh.
Well, what about other players getting it in the past?
Well, I guess what I'm curious about, sorry, Joe, I'm just giving you grief. I guess what I'm curious about is all of these guys you now have on the books for essentially the next 10 years, okay? I know they're not all going to be here in 10 years, but I wonder, is this something, if you were a franchise like, say, the Kansas City Royals, okay, you got Bobby Witt, and that's your cornerstone, and you start looking at maybe you go sign a Snell or a Corbin Burns, and you start doing this, but they don't have the same kind of capital as, say, the Dodgers do. Is it worth Is it worth having a 6-year dominant period knowing that you're going to be cash strapped for 15 years after that?
I think the Dodgers, where they're at in their franchise history after going through, what has it been now, 10 years of being one of the premier franchises as far as wins.
I mean, outside of COVID, it's 88. That's the last World Series.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of COVID.
I hear what you're saying. I'm just talking about, like, when they, I don't know, 2011, 12. Like, when did they really start taking a hold of the NL West and seemingly winning it every year?
Sure, Kershaw at his peak.
Yeah, being a top team in the National League. Like, when did that start happening? Well, for the last 11, 12 years or so, they've been chasing that World Series.
And they've got two.
One. To show for
one starred.
Yeah. And to me, this is them saying, like, all right, now that we have Shohei, now that we have Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, let's just invest in this more and more, and let's make up for missed opportunities over the last 10, 15 years and win the next 3, 4, 5, as many as we can. And at that point, yeah, we can make it. It's a lot easier to pay this.
So the ball rolls.
Yeah, and it's like,
I mean, there's rumors out there that the Dodgers have made $100 million off Shohei this year.
I don't even think that's a rumor. I think you can see, I mean, obviously their books aren't public, but you can see how many people are going to the stadium, how many sellouts that they had.
Jerseys,
bobbleheads. Yeah, you just look at their attendance, and I think that came close to it. But also, it's worth pointing out here that the Dodgers are getting the really good kind of deferred contracts. This isn't like a Bobby Bonilla taking advantage of the Mets with like 8% deferred interest, and that's why, you know, these are going to be like a big amount of money, that's going to be paid to these players every year. Essentially, Shohei and Tommy Edman and all these guys that they're probably going to do it with in the future are giving the Dodgers an interest-free loan. And Joe's point, really, really good, saying money today is worth more than money tomorrow. Essentially, the Dodgers are creating more money to spend, and the fans that have been putting up with what? First place finishes? Oh, so, so sad that they didn't win the World Series that
Kershaw
year.
Kershaw getting lit in the playoffs.
Exactly. But have been putting up with first place finishes in the NL West, like division championship after division championship, and now two World Series in the last 5 seasons.
A la Braves of the 90s.
I think their fans know, and I think I could point to a lot of Braves fans that I know now that understand that at some point the bill will come due. And you can sign players to a point, and there will probably be a decade in the future of total futility for the Dodgers. But what if it's after 7 World Series in 10 years? What if it's after 7 World Series in 12 years? I don't think you can ask much more from your favorite team, right?
Yeah, I don't think the Yankees were super mad that the 80s were really trash because the 40s, 50s, and 60s, they dominated.
Well, and again, 2013 to 2023, the Dodgers won the division 10 out of 11 times.
And the 11th time is the Giants by game, and right, they beat them in the playoffs.
Right.
They've been there.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I'm so fascinated by the long-term effect of that. But let's shift gears, and let's move over to kind of what Joe was talking about. I'm curious about the short-term repercussions of that. Does baseball step in? Do other teams start doing this? Is this the death of small market teams, or is this something that can build up small market teams? That's kind of what I'm curious about. We'll do that next, but first, there's Schultzy with sports. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, I'd like to introduce you to Sassy, as I am aforementionedly calling him. Plus, we'll do fair or foul at the bottom of the hour. The Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver 4. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. From P1 Otter, he's already got his World Series prediction. He's just going Padres.
I was texting him back. I was like, I'd love it if the Padres won. Just throw it right back in the deferred faces of the Dodgers.
Especially tune in to the 8 o'clock hour where we talk about Sassy and see if Sassy could be a part of the Padres' future.
Who? Is this like a stripper or something like that?
Sassy to the stage. Kind of the conversation you were talking about, Joe, and Schultzy, you as well. Fellas, value is only going up, and deferred money is valued lower than the current value. Winning increases your worth, and that's a huge point. It came out, I swear I saw it on here. I don't know how it disappeared. Oh, it's on YouTube. On YouTube, the comment was, in 2035, a two-bedroom home in L.A. is going to be about $41 million. So, yeah, not a great deal. And that's the truth. Like, yeah, your money is backloaded. I think the idea is, you know, Max Scherzer has done this with the Nationals. They're going to pay him till, I think, 2032 or something like that. Dude. His big deal when he signed for the Nationals, he deferred that money. And a lot of that was more looked at as, I'm trying to set myself up for life after baseball. It's kind of like we see NFL, NBA players who get a ton of money and then they're broke once they're out of the league. So I love that concept of, yeah, instead of taking 25 mil a year, I will take 20 mil a year. And then when I'm retired, get like a $3 million a year paycheck. Because not all these guys are going to be on TV or they're I'm not going to look up a TV and see Max Scherzer in commercials like I see Tom Brady in commercials.
Well, one that's close to home for me is Chris Davis of the Orioles. His big contract he got with them, 42 of it was deferred. $42 million it was deferred. And starting in starting in 2026, he's going to get $3.5 million per year for a seven-year period.
Right, which isn't that much. We're used to it with Bonilla.
And then in 2033, he'll receive $1.4 million yearly until 2037.
Yeah, and that's not bad. You're like, okay, so Chris Davis.
Oh, trust me. It's going to be bad every year that I have to be reminded of it after what happened once he got that contract.
But this is a whole new thing. This is money deferred like you're still playing. So the question, let's just jump right into it. The question is this good for baseball? Is this bad for baseball?
There's part of me that doesn't like it because there are, but also I'm just looking at it. I'm like, dude, if the Dodgers can do it, literally any other team could do it. And they are just willing to pay out the ass for these players and just say, we'll take care of it later. I mean, the other thing, too, is ownership. It's like, okay, cool. We can keep that money, invest it in something else, grow that money, and then be able to pay it down the road as well.
Yep. That's one of my big things, too. It's like, I actually think this model would, and which is why, you know, I'll start this convo now, which is why I don't think baseball will do anything about it. First of all, they don't do anything about anything. That's important. But secondly, this is actually something that I think would benefit small market teams. You know, if you're Tampa, if you're Cleveland, Milwaukee, and you want to take a shot at Soto, I mean, maybe not Soto, maybe Soto's a bad, but maybe
Pete Alonso.
Maybe a guy like Pete Alonso or a Cody Bellinger from the last few years or a Corey Seager, somebody like that where you can say, look, I will give you your A-Rod deal, but I just can't give it to you all now. I think it's something that would benefit the small market teams, but we're seeing the big teams, like the Soto thing, that's going to be just as egregious as Ohtani.
Well, and this is, again, it's a somewhat simplified version of the argument, but what kills me is like, oh, small market teams, they can't afford it. They have owners that are worth billions of dollars. They can afford it. It's just some owners are cheaper than others and don't want to invest in their franchise and players. I mean, the Pirates are notorious for this. They are always trying to find ways to get rid of players and not sign them to big contracts.
I saw it. The Dodgers' payroll versus their revenue is really close to each other.
Oh, you mean like what they spend versus revenue on their payroll? Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Rays were at the bottom of that list.
Yep, Mariners are way down there too.
They had $100 million in what they spent, and they brought in $300 million.
I believe the Mets are at the very top of that list.
Mets are at the very top. You're right. It is the Mets. I saw that today. So I would think this is something that would benefit small market teams, especially if, like, I know I'm biased. I know I'm wearing the hat right now if you're watching on YouTube. I know I'm wearing the hat. I'm a Guardians kid. I know that. But I would feel like this is something that's like, okay, right now, we got something kind of building here. We were in the ALCS. Most of our guys are locked up. If we need a Pete Alonso, can we not say we defer some of his money down the road? I think the problem is that the Dodgers are able to defer massive amounts of money. And that's what might force the union, not the union, but the owners and the commissioner to step in and say, That's not fair. It's one thing to defer $35 million for Max Scherzer over the next 10 years. It's another thing to do $680 over the next 10 years.
The whole
years.
Contract, basically.
The whole thing.
I mean, the best way to fix that, then, essentially, just to address that point quickly, is a salary cap. And I'm not sure MLB's ever going to do that.
I want a salary floor.
Yeah, exactly. It's just something that'll force these small market teams to actually spend. Yes,
I want
please.
Both.
No. It's true. They're the only league in North American sports without a salary cap, right? You can see Yankees and Dodgers spending enormous amounts of money with literally no limit.
But the reason they get away with that, sorry to cut you off.
It's okay.
The reason they get away with that is the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Mets don't win the World Series every year.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they get away with it. If this is, you know, if this is Real Madrid, who spends more money than anybody in Europe on their players, they win Champions Leagues every year.
But the way that you're putting it does present an opportunity here for these teams, because to bring up the Bobby Bonilla deal with the New York Mets again, so they gave Bobby Bonilla 8% interest on that because they thought at the time they were going to make a bunch of money on the Bernie Madoff investments that they had, you know, partnered with him and essentially given, I think, 75% of their team's coffers to invest into that Ponzi scheme. It ended up obviously not working, and there's that, you know, there's people still trying to make amends and make their money back from that. But assets is the key here. All these teams have assets in these players, right? And if you can make money on an asset while you have that asset and then continually kind of push off the payment later on,
it's almost like you put some of that money aside
exactly.
to pay for them later.
It affects you in no way, shape, or
like
form.
Jose Ramirez isn't in Subway commercials, but Otani's in New Balance commercials.
I mean, I'm not this financial guru, but if anything, it's like these teams essentially are going to be getting a payout from these assets because they are giving you such a gigantic return. So it's very smart. It's smart for these big market teams to do it, but a small market team, oh my goodness, could really take advantage. It's like, go buy a car that only appreciates. That's essentially what these teams could do and then make their money back, and it's cost-free for them over a 15-year period.
Jared Weaver actually jumped on Twitter the other day to chime in about this, and he says that the Dodgers are taking advantage of this because they can tell the players, like, listen, we're going to defer a bunch of this money, and then once you're done with us, literally move out of the state, and you won't get that state yeah. income
that's,
as a California.
That's huge. And I actually
you'll be able to keep a lot more of that money.
Oh, yeah, Cali's pissed.
If that's not in the stack of S to do on Gavin Newsom's desk, I would be shocked. He is definitely looking at that. I would like a chunk of that $680 that Shohei is going to be owed and live in my state.
Oh, I think
that's going to come to a fruition.
Representatives from the state government have already said
like
Shohei
Blake Snell's signing bonus because he lives in Washington and there's no state income tax. That S is going to change real quick.
Ohtani has already been accused of stealing taxpayer money, like yeah. essentially by doing what he's doing.
I don't know. This whole thing is really crazy. And the fortunate slash unfortunate, I don't think there's really any way, because if I'm being honest with both of you, I don't really have an opinion on it quite yet. What's going to be interesting is how this plays out. I think Soto will be a big domino that falls, because it sounds like Soto will be the first free agent signed outside of Blake Snell, I guess, of the big ones. And I think what Soto's contract is going to reflect what Pete Alonso's contract is, what any future big-time hitter that's going to sign with hitter or pitcher that's going to sign with somebody. It's going to reflect how the rest of the league reacts. And I think that's the big thing, is how does the rest of the league react? We can see what the Dodgers are doing, but how does everyone else either catch up, or do their guys say, this is a bad idea?
Yeah, that's why I think that I can't be too mad at the Dodgers, because they're like,
I think
if a team complains to the MLB, they could be like, well, what about that contract that you deferred? And this team over here that's complaining, what about that contract? You do it.
I think you're right, Joe.
And I think the Dodgers are like, yeah, we're just doing it to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. We're taking advantage of it as much as possible.
Well, players don't have to say yes either. I mean, Ohtani,
that's true.
He's already got enough money, so $2 million. Just think about it. He's like, I can live on $2-3 million a year.
Paul Pierce ain't deferring no money.
No.
I'm just telling you that.
Antoine Walker would have deferred zero.
$0. That's a good point. All right, when we come back, let's get into some actual baseball. I hate that we're going to stick with the Dodgers, but they signed a high-priced free agent, more deferred money. What does this look like for the rest of the league, and is it over? The Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get into Roky Sass. Let you understand who the hell that is. As I'd like to continue that little trend of Asian players coming over to America, because it's hard, you know, like the time difference, we don't get to watch them. So stick around for that. I did not mean for this to be an hour on the Dodgers.
Nice burp.
I truly didn't. But I did. But it's just kind of where it is. It's just kind of where we are. It's the reality of the situation. Blake Snell surprisingly signs a massive contract with the Dodgers right out the gates, pretty much as free agency started. And he's going to be there. Sure, there's a bunch of deferred money, et cetera, et cetera.
Right in the middle of our show that would have been last week.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Literally happened at like 8 p.m. last week on Tuesday.
You know, what I find interesting is, I think from a baseball standpoint, I think what fascinates me about this is that the Dodgers chose Blake Snell. They chose him over Corbin Burnes. They chose him over Max Fried. There's no way they go get either one of those guys, too.
Well, depends on how much they want to defer.
They've already got a six-man rotation. Are you not a little surprised that it's Blake Snell to the Dodgers and not a Corbin Burnes, not a Max Fried? Because I thought we all thought it was going to be Max Fried. He's a California kid. He's going home. I want to play for the Dodgers, et cetera, et cetera. I was surprised it was Blake Snell.
It caught me off guard a little bit, just considering he had played. I mean, hell, he might check off the whole NL West by the time he's done with his career.
I don't know. I don't know if he's got Colorado Rockies in his brain.
Well, I remember sitting in this studio a few months ago, maybe a month ago, when we were talking about the possible Dodgers Soto signing, and if that could happen, I was like, they'd be better served to spend that money on a starting pitcher.
Without a doubt. And we saw that in the World Series. If it wasn't for Roberts, I can't believe I'm going to say this. If it wasn't for Roberts' genius use of the bullpen.
growth. It's a good thing, Pat.
They would have lost that. And that's the first thing we would have said is you need a starter. Glasnow's hurt. Nobody knows about Yoshi. You're going to lose Flaherty. You're going to lose Bueller. Kershaw's old. You need a starter. But they won a World Series.
Yeah, I just I think that the money was better well spent on a starter. Now, it being Blake Snell, that did catch me off guard a little bit. And also, with the way that free agency works in the MLB, like I don't think anything was going to be happening this soon.
Right. I think we were all waiting for Soto.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, that's probably the case.
Even though they're pitchers, we were all just waiting to see what the market value was.
But it's also very, like, spaced out, too. So I guess, like, I don't know if we expect things more now after what happened last season, like, closer to pitchers, catchers reporting things to start brewing up after the new year. But yeah, I'd say it definitely caught me off guard. Them spending on a pitcher. And Blake Snell, like of the three that you mentioned, him, Burnes, Fried, I would think that they would look at those other two. But also, it's like Snell has a Cy Young. He is a proven commodity at this point. And Corbin Burnes, he is lights out as well. But I think that what they were trying to do as far as money as well, what you could pay all these guys, that Snell was going to be more affordable than Burnes. Probably around the same for Max Fried. I think they'll probably get the same amount, is my guess. I mean, what was the Snell total money? Like 212, 215, something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it caught me off guard, but Dodgers needed another starting arm like this because they're going to have four arms that fall off during the season next year. So
I agree, and I think one of the biggest things. I actually think the Dodgers might have got him at a little bit of a discount. And I'll say it because of this. You got to remember, Blake Snell has two Cy Youngs, one in each league, which we've got, what? Pedro Martinez has that. And that's where my brain leaves off. Usually I kind of like to be the brain historian.
I apologize. 5 year, 182 for Blake Snell.
There's only a couple people. Oh, Roger Clemens is one of them. There's only a couple people that have won Cy Youngs in both leagues, and Blake Snell's one of them. Let's not forget that World Series. That was the conversation of that entire World Series, was did Kevin Cash screw up by pulling Blake Snell? Or was Blake Snell overrated because he can't win a big game? And the guy's got two Cy Youngs and could have won one this year. The reason he didn't win one this year is because he waited till past spring training to sign with the Giants. And his beginning of the season was garbage.
Yeah, it was not great.
Which makes me think the Dodgers got him on a discount because they said, hey, man, we want you. Do you want to sign right now and not do that again? And I think there was probably a lot of Blake Snell that said, yes, I don't want to do that. Because you can't tell me that Blake Snell's not looking at what's going on in Arizona with Jordan Montgomery. Jordan Montgomery was the same guy. World Series hero. World Series hero.
Now the owner hates him.
Can't get signed by anybody. He gets signed super late in Arizona and has a disaster season. And now they're trying to, they're literally telling people, will you just take his contract? We don't even like this guy. And I wouldn't be shocked if Snell said, I don't want to do that again. This is less money than what the Yankees or the Mets might pay me, but the Dodgers are offering me a contract right now. Done. I'll take it.
I'd believe it. I think that is a, and I'm sure Scott Boris was probably down with that too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go. I don't want to do that again either.
He's like, I'm busy with Soto over here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't worry. I'll make up the money somewhere else. Yeah. I'd believe that 100% if that was the case. Snell, 32, though. I mean, definitely in the prime of his career. Plenty of good years in front of him. I really am just shocked that the Dodgers got an arm this good.
This fast.
Yeah. Like, it was very, it was like, whoa. Like, not even, like, there wasn't even a, did you hear anything about this? Like, did you see any articles, any podcasts, any reporters saying, like, oh, Dodgers have interest in Snell?
No.
Like, I knew that they would need to go after starting pitching, but to go.
I thought he was going to go back to San Diego.
To go after someone of this quality and to be like, yeah, 182, let's do it. We'll defer it. Bam, bam, bam. Let's get it done. All right, cool. Dodger blue. Ready to go. It caught me off guard 100%.
There's a chance we'll end on this right now. This is what the Dodgers starting rotation looks like right now. Snell, Glasnow, Yamamoto, Otani, Kershaw,
no,
Derek May, Tony Gonsolin, and Bobby Miller. Now, Miller had a real rough stretch last year.
Did you say Walker Buehler?
I did not, because he is not signed on the team.
Well, he will.
Or
be.
Jack Flaherty.
Well, he will be with 95% of that deferred until 2055.
But do you need Walker Buehler right now?
No, but why the hell not?
I think the Dodgers are going to throw a six-man rotation next year. Which is why, side note, if you're fantasy, don't draft Dodger pitchers.
Why the hell not?
They're only going to throw every six games.
Why not bring Walker Buehler back?
Because I think you want to spend that money on Teoscar Hernandez or the trade, and you're going to have to pay a lot of Nolan Arenado at third. You know, like,
let's just go through the top 10 free agents and see how they fit.
I think
roster.
That's why, because you're like, okay, I could use that money at Arenado at third and some bullpen help.
Let's
and
throw Anthony Santander in there. Pete Alonso, why don't you come on down to LA as well?
Pete's like, I know I'm not going to play ever because Freddie Freeman starts, but yeah, I'll defer some money.
Now I'm trying to think of like the Dodgers, like depth chart and what position like they're weakest at. And it's like, all right, what's the top free agent in that position?
Well, it was kind of shortstop, and now they have Tommy Edman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Second base is rough. But they have got Gavin Lux.
It's going to be Mookie at second this year.
And probably Mookie at second, and they'll get a right fielder. It's probably third base, and it's going to be Nolan Arenado.
It's going to be Juan Soto in right field, guys. It's going to be Juan Soto. I said it 3 months ago.
All right, we come back. Loaded second hour. I'd like to introduce to you, who the hell is this guy? I've already got a nickname for him. I'm ready to go, and he's the talk of the town. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, Portland sports leader. Today, the fan.